Hello and welcome to the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference Sports Analytics Podcast. I'm Scott Tappa, director of the conference, and I'd like to invite you to attend our event June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. We have a fantastic speaker lineup taking shape. Please visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference to learn more. Today I'm speaking with one of our presenters, Eric Eager of the University of Wisconsin-Lacrosse and Pro Football Focus. And at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Eric will deliver a talk titled Using Machine Learning to Classify Quality and Style of Play at the Quarterback Position. Eric, welcome.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Great. Glad to have you back. And for our listeners, Eric's our first repeat guest on this podcast. Last year at our conference, he delivered a talk titled NFL Team Ranking Methods and Their Abilities to Predict Games. So glad to have you back.
All right. That's great.
So why don't you just get started? We'll start with a general question. Tell us about your background. How academically, what did you study? What were your areas of focus? And how did you get around to football analytics?
Yeah, so I started much like a lot of people who are interested in sports. I played sports growing up. I probably played all of them at one point in time. And then when I got to college, I was playing football and I majored in mathematics and sort of for a while, it was one of those things where math was the easier of the two. And then, as I sort of learned more math, I realized math was the harder of the two. And so I decided to go for the challenge and go for a PhD. So I went to the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. And when that was done, I got a job as a faculty member at the University of Wisconsin-Lacrosse, where I currently am. About a few years ago, I became, I don't know if bored's the right word, but I was kind of looking for other sort of mathematical topics to study. And I came across Pro Football Focus and to their credit, they gave me a lot of opportunity to study the game with their data, interesting people to interact with, kind of learn football more deeply from. And, even to now to this point where I'm going to be more like transitioning into a full-time role with them this upcoming football season. So that's pretty exciting.
So talk a little bit more about PFF then. It's funny how often it comes up in my Google News alerts for sports analytics or football analytics, leading analytics site, Pro Football Focus, .. Right. So give us the elevator pitch background of how the site got started, what it's morphed into, and maybe some big picture, what you envision becoming as you transition full time there.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I would say from a very beginning, it was more trying to better understand the game with, away from sort of the box score. So, this idea that, a player can get 15 tackles and 12 of them are 10 yards downfield. Well, that player might've lit up the stat sheet, but it wasn't that impactful. Or a quarterback throws a 5-yard pass and it gets run in for a touchdown from 45 yards after the catch. It's that's given the same weight as a perfectly thrown bomb. And so a while back, Neil Hornsby started actually grading players on plays and giving players numerical scores based upon how he perceived them to do on a play. And over time, that sort of has given us enough data to sort of look and see, okay, what is really important about football and what should we be doing in terms of consulting with teams, in terms of presenting, making football fans smarter, et cetera, et cetera. And that's kind of, I think, where we are now is we have a very robust, I think, process, and now we're trying to really understand what everything we collect means.
And yet, I thought of you guys the day after the draft, or maybe it was a few days after the draft when the GM of the Giants was asked about picking Saquon Barkley number 2. I think it was, the rationale of running back at the 2 spot in the draft. And this is an audio podcast. You can't see my face, but he started making faces about, analytics nerds and stat nerds or whatever. So it was clear that there's still quite a lot of resistance to that in the league, in the community. Where do you think pro football is at in its evolution towards accepting analytics?
Among all the major sports, they're last. And I don't think it's particularly close. I think, football is different in that, unlike every other sport, there's a level of, I don't know if masculinity is the right word, but there's a level of brawn that overcomes, I think, a lot of thinking. So, for example, Josh Rosen was quarterback from UCLA. The knock on him was that sort of he's too smart. He's not coachable. He won't listen to players and coaches about things. And as a player, I was nowhere near as good as Josh Rosen, but I certainly had, a lot of my coaches really enjoyed the fact that I thought really deeply about the game, but there was a significant number who thought, who didn't like me, who found me annoying, I think for the very same reason. And I think football is just one of those things where there's a lot of individuals who have positions based upon knowing the right people more so than kind of like having this like deep knowledge of the game. And then there's the fact that like it's a closed system in that sense. So it's really hard to sort of penetrate it with, ideas that break the mold. And it seems like other sports have really embraced some of those ideas, and football just seems behind. And that's the best way I can account for it. But I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. The fact that the season is short, unlike baseball. So like a Browns team can be doing all the right things from a process standpoint and still struggle, whereas in baseball, you have 162 games for things to sort of, equilibrate and everything. Football is just such a small sample, such a, emasculate game and everything, where I think like those combinations of situations kind of allow for analytics to sort of be on the back burner for a lot of people's thought processes.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, it's often said the NFL is a copycat league, right? And you copy what's successful. And the Eagles, the most recent Super Bowl champs, much was written about their acceptance of analytics in the months following their win. And yet then, at roughly the same time, the Browns fire their GM, who was known for analytics, and there was a lot of the dialogue going on. The narrative was analytics lost in Cleveland and all that. And I don't think it's that simple. And yet it's there. Is it almost kind of exciting that there is, that pro football is pretty far behind, or compared to other sports, that there is so much more room to gain as you go forward here?
Absolutely, right? So there are some actually pretty simple edges that teams are still not taking into consideration, so if you're interested in football analytics, what I think is pretty nice is that there are cutting edge problems that take, I think, substantial mathematics, substantial understanding of the game, and sort of a combination of those things to really make some headway. And then there are some easy problems that a lot of people have solved a while back, right? But even then, the game has evolved so much even in the last 10 years, right? So you have this ever-evolving game where some simple basic science needs to be done all the time on the game, and that can be done by anybody. And then there are these sort of deep problems that require a substantial amount of math and science and statistics that also are, going to excite people like me who have that background.
Yeah. All right. So just going back to your specific career, do you remember the first sports analytics project you took, that you undertook, what the topic was, and maybe a follow-up to that, what's your favorite one, or what was the one that was most rewarding to you?
Oh, so I think I can remember all the way back to high school. I was like a track athlete, and I was trying to try to figure out what my 200 meter dash time would be by the end of the year using like simple regressions on my calculator. But that's like kind of silly. When I was in graduate school, I was still kind of really into baseball, and I hacked away at a couple problems. But I think my favorite one so far in football analytics really has been this quarterback project that I've undertaken with Steve Palazzolo, who is a senior analyst at Pro Football Focus, and then George Shahuri, who's my colleague, podcast co-host, and the other analytics guy in the company, where we've looked at quarterbacks, from a ton of different angles, many of which I'll talk about at the conference. But I think that is kind of been, I think the most rewarding thing is taking the most important position in the game of football and understanding it far better even than I did a year ago, 2 years, far more than even 2 years ago, for sure. So that's been the most rewarding one so far.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about that, your topic, without, giving away the whole presentation. Just what exactly, what do you mean by machine learning? I've seen different definitions of that. I've seen some people, you know, say that sometimes the understanding of that is overstated. What is machine learning in the context of your presentation and what you're studying?
Yeah, so statistics and statistics and data science, or statistics and machine learning, there's so much overlap that oftentimes, you know, you can confuse the two, but I would consider them mostly the same. Statistics are trying to like discover sort of like what happened, like inferential kind of things, whereas machine learning, I think the real aim and should be the aim of sort of any football analytics person is prediction. And so, you know, for me, it's things like trying to take things that don't have labels and give them group labels, right? So we have a ton of data on quarterbacks. Okay, can I use this data to tell me if this quarterback is an elite player or not? Can I take this quarterback and tell me whether or not he is in a Kyle Shanahan type offense or in a Norv Turner type offense? You know, all that kind of stuff I would consider machine learning. And then, from the predictive perspective as well. So, you know, how much does this trait that a quarterback has translate from college to pro? Or how much does this trait that a team has at the quarterback position translate in terms of winning games or covering games against the spread or having your team go over the over-under in a game? Those types of things. So I would say it's all kind of under that umbrella. And if you know traditional statistics, you're going to know machine learning pretty well. If you can code quite a bit, you'll be pretty good at machine. You know, there's a lot of overlap there, but machine learning is sort of like the buzzword, but it's sort of a catch-all for this, you know, statistics, computer science, predictive analytics, that kind of thing.
Okay, tell me what you mean, reading through the abstract of your talk, you mentioned throw profile. What do you mean by throw profile?
Yep, so if you take, for example, a couple guys that I think are like apt here would be 2016 Jameis Winston and 2016 Sam Bradford. For anybody that sort of follows football, you look at their quarterback, their PFF grades are kind of similar, but they go about it in a totally different way. So Sam Bradford's a player who, you know, it's a death by a thousand paper cuts. So, you know, he's going to get a decent number of zero graded throws or slightly positive and slightly negative throws. But on average, he's going to be about as good as Jameis Winston. But Winston's going to go about it by getting a lot of positively graded plays, but also a lot of really negatively graded plays. And so his throw profile is far more spread out. And so we would expect somebody like Jameis Winston to, you know, be contending for a Super Bowl one year, right? If you get all of his good throws batched into one sample, then he's a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. However, you're going to get far more seasons where he and his team can't win more than 5-6 games because you put all of his bad throws together. Whereas a guy like Sam Bradford is probably going to be stuck in that 7-9 to 9-7 range because his goods are never quite that great and his bads are never quite that bad.
So is this almost, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, just knowing about the NFL quarterback landscape, is that almost like a Alex Smith versus Pat Mahomes type decision to make if you're the Kansas City Chiefs in the offseason, something like that?
Absolutely, right? So the Kansas City Chiefs, and granted, Alex Smith it worked out perfectly for the Chiefs, but until last season, Alex Smith was very, his highs weren't that high and his lows weren't that low, and the Chiefs did, you know, pretty well with him at the helm, but there was always this idea that when he came up against the Tom Brady's and the Ben Roethlisberger's and the Andrew Luck's in the playoffs, he was 0-3 against them. And, you know, his best was just simply not good enough to beat those guys, even at like kind of their middle to best, right? And whereas you go with Pat Mahomes and there's a chance that the Pat Mahomes might be pretty bad one year, but, you know, at some point in time, Chiefs fans are sick of being 10-6 and losing in the playoffs. They're trying to win a Super Bowl, and they just don't see that necessarily as the ceiling with Smith. So, it's great. And actually, I've written a lot about the Chiefs because, you know, I'm a fan, and now that was exactly the calculus I think that went into that draft day trade in 2017.
Sure. So you mentioned Josh Rosen before, and when I saw your topic, I started thinking about it in the terms of this quarterback class that we just had in the NFL draft. You know, you've got your Baker Mayfield, you've got your Darnolds, your Rosens, and then you've got your Josh Allens, a really polarizing prospect coming out of Wyoming. And whereas with Alex Smith, you can, again, compare how he's done versus NFL defenses and the offense of certain coordinators, you know, how he's done against other elite quarterbacks. how do you use your model? How do you use your research to project college quarterbacks who are playing, you know, again, very different talent levels and schemes in college versus somebody where you have pro data on? What's your thought process with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of the things that are stable year to year for quarterbacks at the NFL level are more predictive when you go to college to pro. So for example, we know that how a quarterback performs in a clean pocket is way more predictive of how he's going to perform in a clean pocket or even in general as how he does in under pressure. So like that, you know, so places to look at the college level as well. If his college team is giving him time to throw, is he making the best of that? If a guy has a lot of pressured snaps in college, we're less able to predict anything because those are sort of messier data points. So just kind of like knowing where to look in terms of like what types of throws. Play action passes, for example, give you almost no information about how good a quarterback is. You know, a play action passing 1 year, so random, mostly dependent upon how good the play caller and the scheme and the surrounding offense is. Whereas how a guy does on third down and long, very descriptive of how good of a quarterback he is. And then over the last, and I can't take a ton of credit for this, but over the last year, Steve and his sort of play charters have sort of looked at accuracy and sort of how, you know, if a guy's wide open, do you put it on his front shoulder so you can run after the catch, or do you put it on his back shoulder so he has to turn around and can't get many yards after the catch? How important is that? And we found that is, you know, if a guy is really accurate at the college level, he's going to be more accurate at the pro level. And a lot of that depends upon in what situation. So if you're looking at accuracy when a guy's wide open versus accuracy when a guy's covered, all that kind of stuff, just kind of pinning it down deeper and deeper into those sort of like buckets does a wealth of good in terms of contextualizing how good a guy's going to be. And then I think just kind of combining the knowledge that PFF is looking at processes. So, you know, for Josh Allen, like we're not necessarily looking at his completion percentage. We're looking at how often does he hit an open receiver, whether or not it's caught or, you know, is not really our concern. And so I think we can divorce a little bit of what of the sort of opponent adjusted stuff from that. But even then, we can still adjust for sort of the level of play of the defense. And we found that has been pretty predictive at the NFL level. The data is a little scant at the college level, but so far we've had some success there.
So the Browns make the right pick in your estimation, number one?
I think the Baker Mayfield. So the interesting thing with Mayfield is that people were always discounting him because of how good his offense was at Oklahoma, and that's true actually. So we found if you look at throws that are the most definitive in terms of like differentiating players at the NFL level, Baker Mayfield was the best at those at the college level, but also on throws that are not differentiating at the NFL level, his team took those kind of simple throws and gained a lot of expected points for him. So the answer to whether Mayfield is actually a good prospect or whether he was the product of a very good system in Oklahoma is yes, right? So it's both. He graded tremendously and he was helped a lot by his team. And so I think that there are some concerns about his height and some concerns about his mental makeup or whatever. But I think how good he was as a college player and how much that data suggests that he'll be good at the pro level overcomes a lot of those questions.
Sure. And where did you fall? Where do you fall on Allen? You mentioned you're not concerned of if they catch it or not. One of the knocks on him and his completions percentage, or one of his defenses was he didn't have a lot of skill talent to work with, right? Do you think that his accuracy was better than his completion percentage suggested, and that he'll be a good NFL quarterback, or do you have your doubts?
I think we as a company have our doubts, just because even if you look at some of his, if you look at some of his deeper accuracy numbers, they're not good at the, compared to other quarterbacks. And so I think I think if you're going to draft him, you're going to have to put him in a system like Buffalo has, which is just sort of like vertical passing game, power running game type approach, but that is high variance. You can get some of that with, Cam Newton out of Carolina in 2015, but you're also likely to get some seasons like Newton's had the last couple where he's been very inefficient. So I don't know. I think that Allen, he's not like Christian Hackenberg, where we thought he might have, been not necessarily draftable, but I think Allen's probably, in our estimation, more of a second or third round pick than a guy that's taken in the top 10 like he was.
Yeah. Thanks for indulging my post-mortem draft questions. I didn't think I'd go there, but I love that stuff. So taking a step back, let's say somebody out there is interested in writing for PFF, working for PFF, helping out with PFF. Well, what would you suggest somebody do to get involved in the football analytics game?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just learn as much math as you can. And I think that was my answer last time, is that, and there's nothing wrong with knowing a lot about football, and there's nothing wrong with knowing a lot about, you know, watching a lot of film and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, this was my suggestion to people when I used to do more mathematical biology: no more math, right? You can pick up the biology later. It's also my thing with football analytics: learn how to code, learn statistics, learn math, know when the models break down, know the edge cases that your models can't handle, have football people around you that can tell you, to sort of ground truth you, have data, that kind of thing. But for me, it's the path has always been, and I think for a lot of people, the path is mathematics first, and then, discipline specific stuff later. And I know that's not feasible for everybody, especially people who are sort of already done with school and everything, but I do think that would be my suggestion for young people who are sort of interested in the discipline.
Very good. Speaking of suggestions, what's one book, website, email newsletter, magazine, anything that you would suggest our listeners read? It could be analytics based, could be something completely different, something else.
Yeah, I thought, the Hidden Game of Football was a great book, and that's books almost as old as I am. But I like that. There's a website that's very good with data science, Data Camp. I also know that, Coursera does good stuff with data science. I would say Medium, Quora, all those places where like people are online discussing the problems. They have Kaggle, those kinds of things. Anywhere where you can sort of go and discuss some of the issues that you're having with your models, ask people a lot of times people are trying to reinvent the wheel and people have studied these things in a lot of different settings. That's why, it's been so, valuable for me having a background in biology, just to have, that perspective. But I know there are people with backgrounds in engineering, backgrounds in computer science, who see the thing differently than I do. And their point of view is extremely valuable as well. So, this has all been sort of a process. I think I've probably read every single, Sporting News, Sports Illustrated, ESPN, the magazine, all those kinds of things. I think when you're sort of trying to grow up in the analytics community, it's always good when people make assertions in those, texts, ask yourself, is that actually true? And, and how would I test whether or not that's true? I think that's a great starting point sort of for anybody who's interested in that, in growing in analytics.
Yeah, great advice. The Hidden Game of Football, is that Bob Carroll, Pete Palmer, John Thorne? Does that sound right?
That's right. Yep. And it's a basis for a lot of the expected point stuff that we use as a basis for a lot of our models. Brian Burke created a version of it about 10, 15 years ago, I think. But, those things have been updated now as the game has sort of evolved. But a lot of great ideas, and no one, even as we study things with Pro Football Focus, we're breaking a lot of ground, but even that, the ground that we've broken at PFF, we're sort of standing on the shoulders of people like Neil and Chris that have given us that opportunity. So just kind of making sure that you give your due to people who have worked in that space for a while.
That's good stuff. Eric, where can people follow you on social media?
So my Twitter is PFF_EricEager. And if you want to email me, my email is also on that as well. I'm always, even though sort of the professor part of my career is sort of, at least taking a pause now, I'm more than happy to help students as they're sort of making that, sort of going in those directions with their life. So.
Sure. And tell us a little bit more about the podcast you referenced before. Where can we find that?
Yeah. So it's called the PFF Forecast. And it's, you can find it, I think, on the Pro Football Focus website. It's also on iTunes and I believe SoundCloud and things like that. So if you want to, I think we do dive into some pretty serious topics in football analytics, but we also try to make it really light and have a few inside jokes here and there. So If you want to listen to that, go ahead and do so. And if you do, leave a review, because it's always fun to answer listener questions because they often elicit their own research questions.
That's great. We'll check that out. Again, my guest today has been Eric Eager of the University of Wisconsin La Crosse and Pro Football Focus. And at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Eric will deliver a talk titled Using Machine Learning to Classify Quality and Style of Play at the Quarterback Position. Eric, thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great. And thank you for listening. Again, the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference will be Thursday, June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference for details, and make sure to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at @analyticsconf. Thanks for listening.